Design Guy, Episode 4.
Design Guy here. Welcome to the show. This is the program that explores timeless principles of design and explains them simply. Now, last episode, we explored graphic design. We laid out a basic definition first by clarifying its difference from fine art. We said that in fine art, it's perfectly okay to be subjective or to allow for individual interpretation, or for that matter, to have no message in particular. But graphic design is different in that it must support an objective typographic message. If it doesn't communicate something specific, we failed at our mission. We also identify typography as the main component of graphic design. Without it, there's no message, and if there's no message, there is no graphic design. Today, we'll talk a bit about process, or more to the point, we want to ask, how does this process begin? In short, it begins with listening. New media designer Hillman Curtis gives us insight about listening. He says, listening is an activity. It's a matter of asking the right questions in the right way, and then fine-tuning your reception to the answer, however buried it may be. Now, no matter what we're designing, whether it's a postcard or a passenger ship, the thing we're listening for is requirements. It's the requirements that define our project. We want to know about dimensions and deadlines. We want to know about constraints and content. We want to gather all the guiding factors that are going to put us on a sure path to reaching our destination. But before we can do that, before we can assemble those requirements, we've got to get comfortable with this activity of listening. And I know it sounds simple, right? The client tells us stuff, we write it down, and then we get to work. In practice, though, it's a lot trickier than that. Clients frequently don't tell us stuff. They leave things out. Or maybe they tell us the wrong stuff based on well-meaning but misguided preconceptions. Other times they're not really in touch themselves with what they really want. And this leaves gaps, and we want to get skilled at filling those gaps. The way to do it is to get good at asking questions. And again, I know it sounds simple, right? But here too, we often ask the wrong questions. We bring our own baggage, we bring our own preconceived notions, and we start down the wrong path of inquiry. We funnel the client toward a solution that may suit our capability or comfort zone more than it really addresses their needs. So this whole area can be slippery. So what's a designer to do? Let's answer that by first understanding what our goals in listening are. Where should our line of inquiry take us? The short answer is, it should take us to the heart of the matter. We want to ask our client open-ended questions, questions that aren't designed to elicit simple yes or no responses. The idea is to get them talking. We want to draw it all out from them. And we want to leave them a wide berth at first, rather than hemming them in by tut-tutting over ideas that sound expensive. It's like we're probing, we're digging, sifting through the real issues and the red herrings. And what we're trying to uncover, what we're trying to get to, is what our clients really want. We want to know what their story is. We want to know what their goals are, including the obstacles to those goals. We want to get to the heart of their message, including the subtext or implied. It's like we want to get the overt message and even the covert message. Now, all these elements that I'm talking about can be summarized by the word theme. If we know what these thematic drivers are, then we've got the seed out of which a project grows. And make no mistake on this point, your solutions are going to be organic and natural when they grow out of theme. It's when we're unclear about theme that our work becomes contrived as we muck about with style or other things in an attempt to compensate for our lack of understanding. Now, this pursuit of understanding and the questioning process may take place over more than one meeting, with time in between for research and internal discussion. And when we've gotten really clear on what our clients want, including their story and all those thematic drivers I mentioned, this is when requirements will start to come into focus. But this is the point where we've got to remain vigilant with ourselves. It's really easy at this stage to get the right answers, but then go wrong. I mentioned before how we can funnel a client towards solutions that suit our own capabilities or comfort zones more than they address their needs. Sometimes it's because we've got a favorite tool. We have a hammer, so to speak, and everything looks like a nail. We want to watch out for this by remaining open to all the possibilities and not limiting ourselves to top-of-the-head solutions. The way we do this is by turning those questions on ourselves. We want to start pointing them in our own direction and ask ourselves as designers a whole lot of things. And we'll do so in the next episode. For now, let's just recognize that listening takes practice. Clients are all different. They've got different styles of communication. And it's going to take some experience to get good at this. Sometimes you got to labor through it. And labor is a good word. Labor as in childbirth. Socrates likened himself to a midwife who would press others with questions so he could give birth to knowledge. Get comfortable with probing for the heart of the matter, with this drilling down and sifting and sorting and discerning. This is the key to laying the foundation of understanding that's going to lead you to on-target solutions that delight your clients. Well, that's it for today. I'll be posting show notes on my blog, which may be found at designguyshow.blogspot.com. That's designguyshow.blogspot.com. Well, I thank you again for listening, and until we meet again, this is Design Guy.